So Monday was the Nativity of Mary, and tonight our major teaching is on the Nativity of Mary by Janet.
So again, it's from the book, This Mystical City of God. It's got the imprimatur, but it's not church dogma, so use your discretion. But I found a lot of fun facts about the Nativity of Mary. So I thought this would be a very appropriate time to share that with you. So as you're probably aware, St. Anne and St. Joachim prayed a long time to have a baby. God saw that they were in such a state of grace and blessed them with the most holy baby. God then sent the Archangel Gabriel to Joachim in a dream, which was similar to what St. Joseph experienced that you hear about later. And he told him that Anne would conceive a daughter who would be blessed among all women, and that her name shall be Mary, and that from early childhood she should be consecrated to the temple. But he was not, however, made aware or told that she would be the mother of Jesus. It was not until the end of his life that he would find out that his daughter, Mary, was chosen to be the mother of God. Then the angel Gabriel appeared to Anne and told her that her prayers have been answered, and that she will conceive and have a daughter, and that her daughter would be the long-awaited mother of God, but that she should keep this information to herself and not even tell Joachim. In raising Mary, she was to be raised and parented as per the usual, and no one would know of her special gifts and blessings until the appointed time. Some of the events that took place in the heavens before the birth of Mary have already been described in detail in the Revelations 12 and 21. Before Mary was conceived in Anne's womb, Anne was placed in a state of ecstasy in which God elevated her and gifted her with a higher intelligence and vision of himself. He bestowed on her numerous graces and enlightenments about Mary. He entirely purified Anne for this special event. When the angels were made aware that Mary was soon to be conceived, they offered to be guardians of Mary. Some of the roles of the angels are named, and some other roles are less clear. Of the 9 choirs of angels, God selected 100 angels from each choir, and these are all her guardian angels. Then God selected 12 more angels who would assist Mary in corporal and visible forms. These were the 12 angels who were mentioned in chapter 21 of Revelations as guarding the portals of the city. Then 18 more angels were selected from the highest ranks, and these angels would ascend and descend the stairs of Jacob, carrying the messages of Mary to God and from God to Mary. 70 seraphim angels of the highest ranks and nearest to the throne of God were chosen to communicate with Mary, as in the same way as how angels communicate to each other. The number 70 refers to the earthly years of her life, of Mary's life. Of the 70, 60 were very strong ones, that they were described as their loins were girded with swords against the terror of the night. These angels were the ones who overcame Lucifer and his army of angels that followed him. The other 10 angels were chosen as distinguished leaders in the fight against Lucifer, and who had shown great reverence to God and Mary. The total was 1,000, so she had 1,000 guardian angels. And Saint Michael was at the forefront, and the angel Gabriel was appointed as legate and minister of the Eternal Father with regards to Mary and all of her activities. As previously explained through chapters 12 and 21 in Revelation, Mary was infused with numerous graces and blessings beyond that of even the seraphim angels. She was given the perfect use of the light of reason. Not for one moment was she to remain idle, but to always be engaged and focused on God. When Anne conceived Mary, God desired that she should feel and be aware of the most holy woman she was now bearing. This was a kind of ecstasy that lasted for the rest of her life, but it was more strongly felt during the 9 months in her womb. Mary, before she was even born and still in the womb, she was given the ability to practice her virtues and was able to recognize the three persons of God. At that time, her love for God already surpassed that of the seraphim angels. Sister Mary Agreda, who Mary gave the revelations to, Sister Mary Agreda tells us that from the first moment she was in the womb, Mary was wiser, more prudent, more enlightened, and more capable of comprehending God and all his works than all the creatures that have been or will be, except for Jesus. At her conception, Mary was shown her 1,000 guardian angels, which she happily and humbly accepted. Even at her first instant of being, she began her work of mediation and intercession for mankind. Even though Anne was aware of Mary becoming the mother of Jesus, Mary was not made aware of this herself until the angel Gabriel appeared to her, asking her to become the mother of God. Since Anne and Joachim proved themselves to be very holy people, Satan particularly tried to tempt them into sin. Satan was always on the lookout for the mother of God, but was veiled by God to whom this might be. Satan pursued Anne just in case she might be carrying the Virgin Mother who would crush the head of the serpent. First, he tried to kill Anne, but was not permitted by God to do this. Then he tried to fill Anne with temptations and doubts about the truth of her pregnancy, but Anne overcame this. Then Lucifer tried to destroy their house and was hoping the shock of losing their house would cause a miscarriage, but that didn't work either. Lucifer then sent a woman to Anne that she knew and incited this woman to quarrel with Anne, which this woman did so in a very fierce manner. But Anne did not let this disturb her. Then Satan sent many people to do the same, but Anne resisted this, and instead of quarreling back, Anne began to pray for all of them. Finally, a maidservant of Anne and Joachim was used by Satan to cause even more disruption inside the household. But again, Anne and Joachim overcame this. After this last attempt, God sent Satan away not to bother Anne and Joachim anymore, at least during her pregnancy. The moment for the Blessed Virgin Mary to be born finally arrived. At midnight on September 8th, St. Anne was informed by an inner voice that the time of Mary's birth had arrived. Mary was placed in a state of ecstasy by God, so she would not be aware of the actual physical process of being born. St. Anne was in very deep prayer and told God that she felt unworthy to be the mother of God, mother of Mary, but God reassured her and blessed her. He instructed her not to outwardly show reverence to Mary, but to always be inwardly reverent and to act as a mother as usual. No one was to know just yet about the full truth of Mary. The moment when Mary was born, Gabriel was sent by God to the souls in limbo to announce that the time of reparation of mankind had begun. At the moment of Mary's birth, God brought her to his throne in both body and soul and proclaimed to the angels, "Our chosen one shall be called Mary, and this name is to be powerful and magnificent. Those that shall invoke it with devout affection shall receive most abundant graces. Those that shall honor it and pronounce it with reverence shall be consoled and vivified, and will find in him, in it, the remedy of their evils, the treasures for their enrichment, the light which shall guide them to heaven. It shall be terrible against the power of hell. It shall crush the head of the serpent, and it shall win glorious victories over the princes of hell. While Mary was present, body and soul, in heaven, an angel took her place on earth, as some, they sometimes did during her earthly life. 8 days after her birth, Anne was visited by angels and was told once again that the child's name should be Mary. Anne consulted with her husband Joachim, who was also previously told by an angel in a dream, and together they agreed to name their daughter Mary, as decreed by God himself. 60 days after the purification time, which is the Jewish custom, Mary was presented to the temple as described in the Gospels, with Simeon praying over her. The typical sin offerings were brought, which confused Satan, because he saw this, and then he thought that maybe Mary was not the mother of God after all. Many things were hidden from Satan at that time in order to protect Mary and to confuse Satan. Saint Anne also renewed her vow of offering Mary to the temple after 3 years of age, as previously promised to God. To other people, Mary appeared to be a normal child, but secretly she was able to do extraordinary things, such as being able to talk as soon as she was born. Although she had this ability, she did not do so in the presence of anyone, including her parents, but she would converse with her guardian angels and with God in prayer when she was alone. She ate less and slept less than the other children, and when she cried, it was because of her sorrow of the sins of the world. She did experience the usual difficulties of infancy. She felt hunger, felt thirst, and all the other things in order to obtain more graces and to be an example for mankind. Her pains of hunger and thirst were more painful than in other humans. But Mary, as Mary herself describes, as soon as I was born into the world, I felt the effects of the elements, the influence of the planets and of the stars, of the earth that sustained me, of the nourishment which preserved me, and of all the other things of this life. I gave thanks to the author of all things, acknowledged his works and as benefits freely bestowed upon me, and not as dues which he owed me. Therefore, when anything was wanting of the necessaries of life, I remained in peace and contentedness, and deemed it all perfectly reasonable and proper in my regard, since I had merited none of the gifts and could justly be deprived of them all. May we all adopt the attitude and gratitude of Mary for all of God's blessing he has given us. Thank you.